This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. We're wrapping up graduation season, but let's take a moment to recognize an economics graduate from the past who didn't quite get her flowers at the time. 100 years ago this month, Sadie T. Moselle, later Sadie Alexander, became the first African American in the United States to earn a PhD in economics. But like a lot of black women, she was denied employment opportunities because of her race.
No one hired her into a position as an economist. She eventually became a lawyer. She had a very important career as a lawyer, and she died in 1989.
That's Dr. Nina Banks, an associate professor of economics at Bucknell University and president of the National Economics Association. She recently published a collection of Sadie Alexander's speeches and writings in a new book called Democracy, Race, and Justice. For the project, Dr. Banks dug through archives and painstakingly deciphered scraps of old speeches.
I always say it was a labor of love because it took a long time, almost 20 years, for a number of reasons, only one of which was due to her handwriting. And the handwriting was a challenge.
Even though she never was able to work as an economist, Dr. Alexander did a lot of speaking and writing as a civil rights lawyer and activist. So when I spoke with Professor Banks a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what she found in the archives.
Economists assumed that after she became a lawyer that she had given up her interest in economics. And so when I went to the archives at the University of Pennsylvania in 2003, I was really shocked to find that for all of her life, she had a sustained interest in economics, the economic status and condition of African Americans. She was a proponent of economic justice. And so that's what the book is about. The book is an excavation, my excavation of her economic thought and the return of it to the economics profession.
If you'll indulge me a bit, I was struck by two particular passages because over the years, you can see through her speeches how she's grappling with an idea that's still a topic of debate, sort of this balance of personal responsibility of black people on an individual and community basis to change the situation versus the role and responsibility of government. You have a fragment of one of her speeches from the 1920s where she talks about the poor morality rates and literacy rates of black people are due to, quote, a failure on our part to train our bodies and our minds. Fast forward several decades to a speech she gave in 1963 called New Tempos, New Concepts. She talks about to push for change, we're going to have to, quote, do a lot more than change the self-image of Negroes. We're going to have to restructure society.
Yes, you identified, I think, a really problematic speech where she focused on, as you said, individual responsibility and group efforts, behavioral factors. But certainly her thinking shifted, I think, as she experienced discrimination and witnessed more discrimination and racial oppression. And so by the 1960s, with the speech that you read, she's really gone full circle. And so she's looking at systemic structural barriers. And that speech, I think, is really interesting because she talks about the need for a restructuring of our society so that African Americans would be fully able to participate in our society economically, politically, socially, and so on. And we are still, as you said, grappling with that today.
She wrote and spoke, of course, on the black economic experience, but Alexander also did a great deal of work and data mining and research on gender roles and women in the workforce and illuminating so many of the same problems that we're seeing now in the she session of the pandemic.
So in her section on women in the political economy, what I find really interesting is that the group of women she was most concerned about were African-American women who were domestic workers. Those are the women who were the most vulnerable to economic downturns, as you said. And so, absolutely, if we look at the recession today, we see that domestic workers have been especially hurt, women who are in personal service. So you're absolutely right. You know, she was prescient in many ways, and this was one also in terms of the acute vulnerability of African-American workers.
Another area in which she was pretty prescient in her writings was another debate we're having today about one of the key themes in her speeches and writing being, as you put it, her understanding of the problems of income inequality on the macro economy. And you have a question posed at the beginning of the book, literally in the first paragraph, that I'm wondering if you can try to answer, which is, how might our understanding of the economy be different today if Sadie Alexander had been allowed to work as an economist at the time, and to add to that, if even her economic contributions had been acknowledged before now?
Yeah, and I think that that is a really important question, and I think that it's a question that can only be answered by the context of the time. And the context of the time, 1920s into the 1960s, is that African-American scholars were employed at segregated institutions. So my sense is that had Sadie Alexander been able to find employment as an economist, her economic thought would probably not have influenced the overall thinking within the economics profession, because there is a tendency still on the part of economists to dismiss the critical thought of African-American economists, even in a post-civil rights era, unfortunately. It would have made a difference in the thinking, certainly, of students who would have been influenced by her, students who would have gone to HBCUs.
Nina Banks is Associate Professor of Economics at Bucknell University and editor of Democracy, Race, and Justice, the Speeches and Writings of Sadie T.M. Alexander. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Likewise.